how does muscle growth occur? So remember that muscle protein synthesis and muscle protein breakdown are cyclical. They're happening throughout the day, every day, okay? Muscle growth is a result of net gains in muscle protein synthesis over a long period of time. So again, when I was saying be patient, you don't just gain overnight. This is going to take consistency in strength training, increasing the weights over time, and of course, with good nutrition. So when I talk to folks that, you know, get working with me, the first things that we do is get us going on nutrition in terms of, are we eating on a consistent schedule? What's our overall intake? And of course, looking at calories and carbohydrates and proteins and fats and optimizing our intake. Okay. But certainly if you're coming and you're not, you don't even have those things in place, we're going to work on that first. We're not going to jump into supplements. We're not going to jump into doubling our intake. We're going to do this in a slow, progressive way that is easily tolerated, that you can do. Again, we don't build Rome in a day, and you can't just jump and double intake overnight, right? That's difficult to do, especially for someone that's had bariatric surgery. It's already challenging enough to increase intake. So remember that this is going to be a slow process. We're going to start slowly. So when I start with folks, the hierarchy of our nutrition focus is going to be for someone that wants to gain muscle, we're going to look at increasing calories, increasing our protein. Those are going to be the main kind of first nutritional things that we're going to focus on.
Hi, welcome to the Active Bariatric Nutrition Podcast. I'm your host, Kim Tirapelli, a bariatric sports dietitian, and I help post-bariatric clients achieve their fitness goals through better nutrition and addressing the problems that come from typical bariatric and sports nutrition advice that just don't work for an active bariatric lifestyle.
Welcome to episode 15 of the Active Bariatric Nutrition Podcast. I'm your host, Kim Tirapelli. Today, I want to talk all things related to nutrition for muscle growth. After having bariatric surgery, this is, of course, a very common goal to change body composition and enhance muscle mass. So today, I want to discuss what to focus on initially after surgery to set yourself up for muscle building, when to begin increasing overall intake, the nutrition factors that will increase muscle hypertrophy, as well as supplements that may assist muscle building after you've addressed your nutritional intake. So let's dive in. So I want to start off today by just discussing why it is important to really set a nutrition foundation in that first year to year and a half after you have your surgery. We really want to make sure that we nail our nutrition so that when we are ready to get into this muscle building phase, you have that foundation built so that we can basically optimize it further, and it'll make it a lot easier for you. So I want to start off today by kind of covering some habits that I would encourage you to really focus on in that first year to year and a half after the surgery to basically get this process started. Okay. So guys, after we have surgery, as you all know, once you've had your surgery, our intake is significantly decreased, right? And so oftentimes, I totally can understand why I'll get, you know, a message like, hey, I just had my surgery a month ago and I'm ready to start building muscle mass. And that is an excellent, excellent goal because obviously optimizing body composition, after your surgery is certainly something that we, you know, all strive for typically. So I can understand that. But please also understand that in that first year to year and a half, this is when you are taking in the least amount of nutrition, right? You just had your surgery. So whether it's the vertical sleeve gastrectomy where we're removing, 80% of the stomach, or if it's the Roux-en-Y gastric bypass where we're rerouting the intestine and we're both reducing intake and malabsorbing your nutrition, or even the, where we're looking at even more malabsorptive procedures like the duodenal switch. So it's very difficult in that first year to year and a half to really truly get into a muscle gaining phase. Because honestly, in that first year after the surgery, we're just trying to get in our basic needs, right? And so the number one thing I want you to really focus on in that first year to year and a half with our nutrition is definitely getting in our protein. Okay. That's going to be most important overarching goal. All right. So every surgery center is different. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there's some magical amount because every surgical center is different in terms of what they're going to tell you to aim for. But the typical recommendation out there is a minimum of 60 to 80 grams of protein in a day. This can help you to minimize muscle loss as you are in a hypocaloric state, meaning a low caloric intake phase. We want to try to minimize muscle loss as much as we can. So this is why we always focus in on eating our protein food first at every single meal. So again, typically the range is 60 to 80 grams per day. Certainly you can go higher if you can tolerate that, but that's usually the minimum protein goal per day to help with minimize muscle wasting after that surgery. Now, another thing I would encourage you to focus on in this first year after surgery is really nailing your nutrition schedule in terms of your consistency of your eating. All right. Again, it's hard to meet our protein goals in that first year after the surgery when it's hard to just get in enough food, right? And then if you're pairing that with skipping meals or not eating until, you know, later in the afternoon, you miss morning, it's hard to catch up. Okay. You can't go, oh man, I missed breakfast. Let me have a bigger lunch. You can't do that, right? Because you have a new small stomach. And so the amount of food that you can eat at each meal is certainly lessened after the surgery. So I want to remind you that eating on a consistent schedule is going to be helpful so that you get those nutrients in that you are able to take in. And I just want to highlight that research has shown that for folks that fast or do the intermittent fasting, strategy for diet, it has been shown to suppress muscle protein synthesis. So again, we don't want to be in prolonged periods of fasting, especially for those of you that are wanting to gain muscle, right? So you definitely want to be eating on a consistent schedule. That might mean every 3 to 4 hours for you, maybe 3 to 5 hours. It just depends on your day length in terms of when you wake up and when you go to bed. But I just want to encourage you, really do try to focus on getting on a consistent eating schedule so that, again, we are eating our protein at each meal, we're getting in that total per day that we're aiming for. And remember too that you're going to be able to increase your overall protein amount in a day as well as at each meal as we progress after the surgery. Another thing in this first year to year and a half, after you are cleared, definitely begin a strength training routine. Because in terms of muscle building down the road, this is going to be critical to your success is starting soon after the surgery, begin a strength training routine. It might mean just 2 to 3 times per week. You know, in my previous podcast episodes, I interviewed Dr. Sarah Anderson, who is a physical therapist, as well as Nick Bates, who is a personal trainer. And both of them said that the minimum to kind of get started is about 2 to 3 times per week of strength training. And that's a great place to begin. You can certainly build up from there, maybe up to 4 to 5 times per week. But definitely getting this started right out of the gates after you've been cleared to do so is very helpful. And then obviously, as you move farther out, you can certainly change your goals to get into more muscle building. And that can then be looked at in terms of how you're lifting, how many times a week, what you're doing for those weights. That can all be changed. And I would just say here too, guys, I would highly recommend reaching out to a fitness professional, whether that be a personal trainer or a physical therapist, someone that is obviously well-versed in this, to get you going and give you a solid plan so that you have a good starting point, you have proper technique and form so that you're preventing injury, and someone that's going to teach you that principle of progressive overload, meaning increasing the weights over time, which will help you to increase your muscle strength and muscle mass. So absolutely, I would highly recommend, maybe if you haven't had your surgery yet, start researching where you might begin to work out. Even working out before the surgery is a good thing. I remember Nick saying that in our interview that was helpful. He recommends to all his bariatric clients to begin that even before the surgery. But certainly once you're cleared and you begin it afterwards, definitely find someone that knows what they're talking about, right? You want to get this started on the right foot. So I highly recommend reaching out. I also have interviewed Kylie Hansen, who is a personal trainer, and she works specifically with bariatric athletes. So I would highly recommend reaching out to someone, like I said, that has this expertise, has the experience, and can get you off on the right foot. You can certainly go back to those podcast episodes, Dr. Sarah Anderson, Nick Bates, and I just recently interviewed Kylie Hansen, and they are going to be able to give you some information in those podcasts, but certainly you can reach out to each of them individually as well if you're wanting to get started. So meeting your fluid goals. So something that we often overlook when we are looking at, hey, I want to gain muscle mass is we just look at our protein. We're looking at our calories, of course, but staying hydrated is really important. It's not only important for preventing injuries for your muscle, right? We want to make sure our muscles are hydrated. But if you go into a workout dehydrated, you are not going to be able to push yourself as much, right? You're not going to push yourself as long or as hard, because if you're dehydrated, you will fatigue sooner. So I wanted to highlight this because certainly as you increase exercise over time, you're going to have increased sweat rates. Remember, that is a training adaptation. As we become more trained, more fit, we will sweat sooner and easier. And that's a good thing, because what is that doing? That is cooling our core temperature. That is allowing us to be able to exercise longer, harder. So if you are coming into workouts dehydrated, this is going to impact your overall ability down the road to see gains and changes in your body and in your workouts. So one way to kind of make sure that you're staying on top of your fluids, certainly you can check your weight before and after workouts to see how much you are losing in sweat. Remember that for every 1 pound lost in sweat, you should rehydrate with 16 to 24 ounces of fluids. In addition, I usually use the rule of thumb, which is a 1/2 ounce to 1 ounce per pound for fluid goals in a day. That 1/2 ounce is a good place to at least start with. I know initially that might be difficult to reach that amount of fluids, considering we have to separate our food and drink by 30 minutes. So you have to be on top of those fluids in between your meals. But that 1/2 ounce to 1 ounce per pound is a good range for fluid goals as you increase overall your exercise. And I'll just say too, make sure you carry a fluid bottle with you. I get people say like, I don't do well with my fluids. And one easy way is just in your eyesight, always have fluids nearby. That way, every chance you get, you're sipping. Okay. And then another habit that I want to encourage you to establish in this first year, and really this is going to be forever, is to take your bariatric vitamins and minerals every single day. I can't tell you the number of folks that I talk to who are, maybe just 4, 5, 6 months post-op, and they're already off track with vitamin and mineral supplementation. Guys, remember, these vitamins and minerals play critical roles, especially for people that are more active. So certainly, if you are trying to gain muscle down the road, you do not want to have deficiencies already happening, because these vitamins and minerals play critical roles in metabolism of nutrition, like carbohydrates and proteins and fats, which fuel your muscles, right? Vitamins and minerals play a role in carrying oxygenated blood to your muscles so that you can exercise longer, harder. So again, if you have a deficiency, you can feel tired more quickly in workouts. And I just always remind folks that these things build upon each other. So if you're chronically tired when you go to your workout, you're not pushing yourself as hard. Your workout won't be maybe as intense. And over time, it's going to take longer to see those gains and changes because you're not able to push yourself as hard in the workouts. So all these things add up. And so I want to just remind you that staying on top of those bariatric vitamin and mineral supplements every single day, obviously what your surgical center recommends, please do that. And then I just want to remind you too, to make sure you're getting your labs drawn on a consistent basis. Typically, most surgical centers will do, maybe the first set of labs before the surgery, and then they'll do one maybe at 6 months or 1 year post-op, and then annually thereafter. If you know that you have been longer than a year and you haven't had labs drawn, go ahead and get those drawn. Okay. I highly recommend that, because that way, if you're feeling tired or there's issues going on, you can get those labs drawn. We can see very quickly what is, low, and you can certainly address that very quickly and easily with bariatric vitamin and mineral supplementation. So those things, so I'll just recap. Focusing on meeting your protein goals every day, eating on a consistent schedule so that we're not skipping, we're eating, every 3 to 4 hours or so, we are getting in our protein on a consistent basis throughout the day, starting a strength training routine and reaching out to a fitness professional that can help you get started on a program, I would highly recommend. Getting your fluid goals in daily. I know that most surgical centers will say a minimum of 64 ounces. That's a great goal to start with. I then encourage folks to work on about 1/2 to 1 ounce per pound, down the road as you're able to tolerate more. And then taking your bariatric vitamins and mineral supplements daily, every single day. This is for life. There is no finish line that we cross. We take these every single day. So critical to your long-term success. So those are the habits that I want you to focus on, because as I said in the beginning of this podcast, the first year to year and a half there's so much going on, guys. And it is at the time where we are taking in the very least amount of nutrition. And it is difficult to gain muscle mass when we are taking in a very low amount of calories, okay? I want to encourage you to be patient,
right? Be patient with yourself. Let's work on this weight loss phase, which is that typically that first year to year and a half. Let's get through that. Does not mean that you can't begin that strength training routine and start working on different goals. I'm not saying that at all. But I just want to make sure that you're coming into this with, you know, the mindset of being patient. Gaining muscle takes time, right? We want to get through that weight loss phase and just be able to meet our bare minimum, you know, nutritional intake goals in that first year to year and a half. And the good news is that as time progresses, you will be able to do more. In fact, most of the people that I work with that are really truly wanting to build muscle are at least a year or further out, okay? They've gotten through that initial phase of just learning what their body tolerates, what proteins they like, you know, starting a new exercise routine, losing that, you know, significant amount of weight in that first year. And then as they move out farther and it's easier to, you know, make changes to nutrition, that's where you can really put a lot of your energy and time and focus into optimizing your intake to really focus on these individual goals that you might have. So that's where I want to move into now is talking about how to optimize nutrition to really see that muscle gain or that hypertrophy once we are able to. Okay. So let me just kind of explain, how does muscle growth occur? So remember that muscle protein synthesis and muscle protein breakdown are cyclical. They're happening throughout the day, every day, okay? Muscle growth is a result of net gains in muscle protein synthesis over a long period of time. So again, when I was saying be patient, you don't just gain overnight. This is going to take consistency in strength training, increasing the weights over time, and of course, with good nutrition. So when I talk to folks that, you know, get working with me, the first things that we do is get us going on nutrition in terms of, are we eating on a consistent schedule? What's our overall intake? And of course, looking at calories and carbohydrates and proteins and fats and optimizing our intake. Okay. But certainly if you're coming and you're not, you don't even have those things in place, we're going to work on that first. We're not going to jump into supplements. We're not going to jump into doubling our intake. We're going to do this in a slow, progressive way that is easily tolerated that you can do. Again, we don't build Rome in a day, and you can't just jump and double intake overnight, right? That's difficult to do, especially for someone that's had bariatric surgery. It's already challenging enough to increase intake. So remember that this is going to be a slow process. We're going to start slowly. So when I start with folks, the hierarchy of our nutrition focus is going to be for someone that wants to gain muscle, we're going to look at increasing calories, increasing our protein. Those are going to be the main kind of first nutritional things that we're going to focus on. So typically when we look at increasing calories, I want to start by saying, I'm not going to give out some calorie total per day that every one of you listening is going to be able to do, because every single one of you is going to be different. Okay. There is no set magical calorie level that everyone is going to see gains with. So I want to make sure you hear me say that. Because I get messages all the time like, hey, Kim, how many calories do I need? And I'm like, well, you know, there's tons of factors, right? Your gender, how many days a week you're exercising, how far out from surgery, how much can you eat? Guys, yeah, I could tell everyone, I know 3,000 calories in a day, that's going to help you gain. If you can't even eat 1,500 calories in a day, there's no point of saying, oh yeah, that's going to be great. Let's go to 3,000. That's not going to happen, right? So other factors include your tolerance, how much you're eating right now, where can we make some small gradual gains. Typically, I start very conservatively with my clients. We might increase by 200 calories in a day. We might, for those that are farther out that are able to tolerate more food, increase by a little bit more. But typically, I will start with just a very conservative increase of 200 additional calories in a day. And those calories typically come from protein, okay? Because generally, most folks do have some room for improvement on their protein intake. And so I will make changes there first. And then we'll look at, do we need to optimize more carbohydrates around your workouts, as well as maybe fat intake as well. So that's kind of conservative in terms of how many calories should I be increasing to start seeing some muscle gains. I would begin with a very conservative 200 calories per day increase. And then certainly what I would do is track your intake, track your trends. Body composition testing is an important measurement, in my opinion, because the scale oftentimes doesn't tell us the full picture. So I typically recommend to have body composition testing done, whether you purchase like a Tanita scale for your home or you go and you do in-body scale scanning like at a local gym. A lot of gyms do have those now where you can get that body composition testing done. And typically every 2 to 3 months is a good span to give yourself a chance to make nutritional changes and see the changes in body composition. You're not going to, you know, see changes overnight, like I mentioned. So I'll just highlight again that we might start with that 200 calories. And then the next thing that's going to be ultimately critically important is our total daily protein intake. Okay. So in terms of hierarchy of importance, your total daily intake of protein is number one most important. Okay. This is the most influential factor in muscle gaining. Research has suggested a range of 1.6 to 2.2 gram per kilogram of body weight. Remember, that's just taking your weight and divided it by 2.2 if you want to convert to kilograms. Or if you want to just know how many grams per pound, that range is about 0.7 to 1 gram per pound protein per day. Okay. So, And then I get the next question is, should I use my current weight? What should I use for my weight? So calculations should be based on your kind of your goal weight or that maintenance weight that you have reached. Okay. We don't want to use, for example, your preoperative weight or the weight right after the surgery. We want to get through that weight loss phase mostly and get to close to your maintenance or that goal weight that you're wanting to work towards and utilize that as the number to multiply these ranges by. So for example, I'll just give you some examples so that way you can kind of see how this applies to you. So let's say someone's 150 pounds. If you want to just do the 0.7 to 1 gram per pound for protein, that would be about 105 to 150 grams of protein per day. Or if you're about 200 pounds, that would be, again, for 0.7 to 1 gram per pound, that would be 140 to 200 grams per day. So it's certainly going to be likely higher than maybe you're used to. And what I would say is aim for that low end of the range to begin and work your way up as you go. You don't have to just jump to that high end of the range right away. Okay. And again, remember, calculations should be based on that maintenance or goal weight, not just the weight right after you had your surgery. Okay. The next thing that's going to be important is the distribution of protein throughout the day. So the dosing or the spacing of the protein. But again, I'll reiterate, the number one most important factor, guys, trumps everything, is total daily protein intake. That is what's going to really help with muscle protein synthesis. But if we're really looking to optimize our muscle gaining, then the next strategy below that would be the distribution of protein throughout the day. So based on research, there's a researcher out there, his name is Alan Aragon. He's a researcher. He looks at nutritional strategies for muscle gaining. He has a book, in fact, that he just recently released that I really enjoyed reading. It's called Flexible Dieting. He recommends, based on the research that he's seen, a minimum of 4 feedings per day dosed at 0.4 to 0.55 grams per kilogram of protein per meal. Okay. Now, for some of you that have a higher amount of protein in a day, so for someone that's over 200 pounds that may have more protein to take in, you may have to eat more than 4 times in a day to reach your goal for the total, right? But what they have seen in terms of research at how much protein per meal do I need to eat to really emphasize that muscle protein synthesis, it is 0.4 to 0.55 gram per kilogram. So again, I'll give you those calculations. If you are 150 pounds, if we divide that by 2.2 to get you into kilograms, that is 68 kilograms. Okay. So a 150 pound athlete is 68 kilograms. If we multiply that out by 0.4 to 0.55 grams of protein at a meal, that range for a 150 pound athlete would only be 27 to 37 grams of protein at each meal. Okay. For someone that's 200 pounds, if we divide by 2.2 to get to kilograms, that is 90 kilograms. 90 kilograms times 0.4 to 0.55 grams of protein per meal would give us about 36 to 49 grams of protein per meal. Okay. So I wanted to comment on that. I know there's a lot of calculations there. So certainly, you know, maybe hit pause and go back and rewind and then apply your weight there. But that'll give you kind of a range per meal. How much protein should I be eating per meal to optimize muscle protein synthesis? And, you know, guys, that's really not, you know, that these ranges I just gave you for a 150 pound athlete or a 200 pound athlete, those are pretty doable ranges for a bariatric athlete, right? Most of the time, bariatric athletes are eating about 30 grams, maybe even up to 40 or more per meal. Okay. And to put that in perspective, if we were looking at about 30 grams of protein, we're looking at about 4 ounces. Okay. 4 ounces of animal meat, chicken, pork, beef, seafood. That's going to give us about 28 grams of protein right there. So it might not be as difficult as it seems. Well, some people have to maybe incorporate a protein shake or something else to help kind of boost their protein. Yes, that might be the case. Okay. And then the last strategy for protein that will help you with muscle building is the timing of protein relative to your training session. So again, in the hierarchy of importance, we're looking at the total daily intake of protein being your number one most important factor. Next below that is the distribution of protein throughout the day, the dosing and the spacing of your protein, how much to eat per meal. And then the last thing is the timing of protein relative to your training session. And what research has shown, again, is that the timing, the window of time of when you should eat your protein, they've actually looked at both pre-workout, during, as well as post-workout timing of protein. And there hasn't been a significant difference as to which is the best. The post-workout window seems to be a little bit better in terms of muscle protein synthesis. But again, if you are eating within a 3 to 5 hour window of your workout, whether that's incorporating protein at the pre-workout window, maybe you're drinking something that has some amino acids in your drink during the workout paired with your carbohydrates, or that workout recovery window after your workout, as long as you are getting in that protein around your workout, as well as in the total part of the day, you're going to be okay. All right. So the good news about that is, if you've got, life happens and you like one day you really nailed your pre-workout nutrition and incorporated carbs and protein. And you went several hours after the workout because something happened. You had to go. Guys, the main thing is we got to get our protein goals in the day. And then if we can try to make sure we're getting in the right amount at each meal and we're timing it somewhere, within 3 to 5 hours around a workout, you're going to be fine. Okay. So again, if you are getting in that protein, whether it's pre-workout, post-workout, that's going to be helpful for muscle protein synthesis. Okay. So again, just to close that section out, some nutritional strategies to help with muscle protein synthesis and muscle gain is going to be making sure we are reaching our total daily protein intake. Okay. And we talked about that 0.7 to 1 gram per pound of protein per day is the range that really has been shown to optimize protein, or muscle protein synthesis. And again, using your goal weight or your maintenance weight to calculate that. The distribution of protein throughout the day, the spacing or the dosing of your protein should be about 0.4 to 0.55 gram per kilogram per meal. And then the timing of protein relative to your training session being the least important in terms of that hierarchy, but making sure that we are having some protein around workouts, whether it's pre, during, or post-workout, all those things will help with gaining muscle. Okay. And certainly we don't want to be skipping or, haphazardly eating where, a couple days of the week we're doing good and some of the days we aren't. If you truly have the goal of gaining muscle, this is a day-to-day focus. We're trying to nail this nutrition so that you're really seeing those gains. So I want to just kind of now talk a little bit about a supplement that can be helpful with muscle gaining, muscle strength, muscle power, muscle growth. Let me just kind of say this. We don't ever talk about supplements, such as the one I'm about to speak about until we have dialed in all of our nutrition, right? There is no supplement out there that is going to make up for a poor diet. Okay. I know there's a saying out there that you can't out-train a poor diet, right? Meaning no matter what you are, doing for your workouts or, supplements, things like that, guys, if you don't have your nutrition nailed in, it doesn't matter. Okay. There is no supplement that can overtake that. All right. So we want to always make sure we are focusing on our nutrition. And then we can look at rounding out our diet with supplements. So today I want us to just talk mainly about creatine monohydrate. Okay. Sure. Maybe some of you have, know about this. Maybe some of you have started taking this. Let me begin by saying, please discuss with your doctor any supplements before starting. I'm not on this podcast telling you that you need to be taking vitamins or certain supplements or things like that, without the advice of your doctor. You always should ask your doctor before beginning anything. What I will tell you to do to take every single day, of course, is your bariatric vitamin and mineral supplements. Those are without fail, those are required because with bariatric surgery, we are reducing the amount of food as well as how much we can absorb. And so those bariatric vitamin and mineral supplements are crucial for your overall health and meeting your needs. Creatine monohydrate is not part of that. Okay. This is an additional supplement that is specific to someone that is wanting to gain muscle. Okay. So yes, do you have to take creatine monohydrate? No, you don't. You can certainly see gains by eating properly and getting an adequate protein, right? And certainly through strength training. But creatine is going to be a supplement that is very, very well researched. It has been able to replicate in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of studies out there. The research has shown its effectiveness in increasing muscle size, strength, and power. And again, it has been replicated time and again. And in fact, what's really exciting on the horizon here is that we've seen so many great benefits with creatine monohydrate supplementation and the muscle impact, but now they're looking at bone density, they're looking at brain health, they're looking at how women specifically will metabolize creatine, how it helps them to gain or helps us women to gain, and it's just getting looked at in so many different ways now, and so that's exciting. I think you're going to see more and more about creatine monohydrate here in the near future. But just to give you a quick summary on creatine, for those of you that are not familiar with it, creatine is a naturally occurring compound in the body. It is made from amino acids, arginine, glycine, and methionine. Our body synthesizes it naturally, about 1 gram per day, and our diet provides about 1 gram per day. So we do get it in the diet, and your body makes it. Okay. You get it in the diet from eating animal sources. Okay. Because animals, like humans, also make it. Okay. So when we eat animal protein, you will get some creatine. That's where we get it in the diet. So specifically for vegan or vegetarians who limit animal sources in their diet, they may see even better response with creatine monohydrate supplementation because they're not getting it naturally in their diet. Right. So for vegans and vegetarians, this supplement might be very helpful for you, especially in seeing muscle gains because you're not eating it in your diet. So why do we take creatine monohydrate? Why do we think that this is an important supplement? Remember that supplementing with creatine monohydrate is going to help to saturate our muscle with basically phosphocreatine stores. We want to saturate our phosphocreatine stores in the muscle. And why is that important? Guys, when you and I begin an explosive movement, so basically any exercise lasting about 30 to about 150 seconds in duration is fueled by your phosphocreatine system. Okay. And creatine monohydrate, phosphocreatine supplies ATP. It helps create phosphate to ATP, and that helps us to have energy. Okay. So ATP is the energy currency of the cell. And so when you supplement with creatine monohydrate, we are basically providing our muscles with that energy source, okay, so that we are able to create ATP easier and faster, and we have that energy source to draw upon for exercise of duration 30 seconds to about 150 seconds in duration. Okay. So for example, exercises that would fall in this range would be, of course, weightlifting, sprinting, jumping, other explosive movements that are that short term in duration. Creatine is going to be an important energy source. Okay. So when you have this ample source of phosphocreatine in the muscle cell, then you are able to exercise longer, harder. And that is going to allow you to do more repetitions, which then over time is going to help you to see gains. And again, as I've mentioned, we've seen this time and time again in research studies that supplementing with creatine monohydrate can increase muscle strength, power, and muscle size. So what is the dosing of creatine? How much are we supposed to take of this, right? And again, I'll remind you, make sure that you talk to a doctor before you begin any supplements, specifically creatine monohydrate. And I'll highlight too, anyone that's had any history of renal disease, definitely make sure that you talk to your doctor before beginning creatine monohydrate. So what are some dosing? What is the dosing of creatine? Some of your options. So you can do a loading phase for creatine monohydrate. And what that phase is you take 20 grams of creatine monohydrate per day for 5 to 7 days, split into 4 doses of 5 grams. Okay. So a total of 20 grams in a day, split into 4 doses of 5 grams for 5 to 7 days. And then you move over to the maintenance dosage, which is 3 to 5 grams per day. You can also, if you don't want to do a loading phase, and if really there's no need to do that, like you know, if you're not a very highly competitive athlete with a specific, you know, goal in mind, that's, you know, short term, you know, goal that you have, you want to reach, I would suggest the second option, which is just taking the daily dose of 3 to 5 grams per day for 28 days, which can then saturate the muscles that way. So it's a little bit slower, but it's kind of a more progressive way to do it rather than doing that loading phase of kind of jumping that in real quick. And another way that is more recent is 0.1 gram per kilogram per day of creatine monohydrate. So if you're 60 kilograms, that would be 6 grams per day. Okay. So that's a relative dosing strategy based on your weight. In terms of when to take creatine, the research out there has not shown a benefit of taking it, whether it's better to take it before or after. They've been shown to both be helpful. So you can take pre-workout, you can take post-workout creatine monohydrate. Okay. What they have suggested is that muscle creatine stores will return to normal baseline levels after you've stopped taking creatine for about 4 to 6 weeks. So once you stop taking it, it takes about 4 to 6 weeks for our muscle creatine stores to return to that baseline level. I did want to just mention, I forgot to say earlier, when you're taking your creatine, it is helpful to take it with a carbohydrate source. So mixing it into something like, you know, if you can certainly mix it into a drink if you want. I mean, you can take it with hot tea or hot chocolate. You can take it in with a smoothie. You can take it in with Greek yogurt, for example. But pairing it with a carbohydrate source will increase the uptake of the creatine monohydrate. A couple brands that I like that have that NSF certification that I've talked about in previous episodes. That NSF certification means it's third-party tested for purity and potency. Clean Athlete, Thorn, and Momentous. Those are three brands that I have personally utilized. I like all three of those brands. You can find it online. You can go to their websites. You can find some of these on Amazon even and purchase one of those brands, but they're all NSF certified. So I really like those brands particularly. Again, I am not endorsed by any brand. So I'm just telling you the brands that I think have been shown to, again, they have what's in there, right? They're NSF certified. And so they're a good brand to start with. So I wanted to close out today, guys, by summarizing with, I oftentimes will see folks that say, look, I want to start, you know, gaining some muscle, but when I get on the scale, it's scary, right? I get on the scale and I see the numbers going up, and that is scary. You had bariatric surgery, you've gone through that, you know, that weight loss phase, and then you maybe start a new routine and all of a sudden the weight's going up and you're like, what the heck is going on? Okay. So let's talk about that. Let's just dive into that for a quick second. So remember, guys, you probably know this, muscle does weigh more than fat. Okay. So it is more dense. It is going to generally lead to an increase on the scale when you are gaining muscle. So although I know that feels scary, oftentimes what you might see is the scale may go up, but if you do body composition or you do circumference measurements, you may notice that actually you're decreasing in size. And so as much as that seems like kind of confusing, it certainly reinforces the fact that gaining muscle is a good thing. Okay. It is a good thing. As you are, you know, you're changing that body composition over time after you've gone through that initial weight loss phase, gaining muscle is awesome. It's a great thing. It's going to be good for you long term. It's going to be helpful for your posture, your balance, your stability, your flexibility. And in addition, it increases your metabolism. So your resting metabolism will be higher when you have more muscle. So that those are all positives. Okay. So as much as I know it's frustrating and it's kind of scary, hang in there. Okay. Now, here's what I will say. If you are doing body composition measurements and you've increased your calories and your protein because you are trying to build muscle, and you are seeing that trend continue to go up at maybe a fast rate or at a pace that you're maybe uncomfortable with, you can always back down. Okay. So remember we talked about earlier increasing calories by about 200 calories in a day. You know, some people may even go up to, you know, an additional 500 calories per day or more. Okay. If you are noticing that you're going up and maybe you have body composition done and you notice that your percentage of fat mass has increased, that's where you can back off on some of the calories. Okay. That might be where we look at, okay, I don't, you know, like how this trend is going. I'm going to go ahead and make an adjustment by reducing my intake by, again, a conservative amount. I would do about only 200 calories to start. And then you could certainly decrease it by a little bit more if you feel like that is, you're not seeing any changes. Okay. So I'll just mention that these are moving pieces. And as you go through these phases, your calories are going to change. Okay. And oftentimes we may see some from your lowest weight after surgery. We might most likely are going to see some increases on the scale. And certainly if that is coming from muscle, that is a good thing. Okay. But I'll just kind of finish with saying, if you are a little unsure or, uncomfortable with manipulating calories and these things, working with a registered dietitian can be so helpful. Okay. And obviously, you know, with Active Bariatric Nutrition, this is why I opened my business, because I want to help folks after they've had their surgery and they have all these exciting new fitness goals, or they want to see muscle gains or change their body composition. It's hard to know where to go with your calories and your carbs and your proteins and your fats, and certainly what type of food to meet those goals, right? Maybe you don't even know what foods have carbs and, you know, protein and fat. And that's certainly something that I am more than happy to help you with. So even if you just have some questions, don't ever hesitate to reach out. If it's something that I feel like is going to require more in-depth work together, then I certainly will tell you that. But if it's a, you know, a general question, I'm happy to answer that at any time. Please reach out, because I know this is challenging. Everyone that's had bariatric surgery comes through with, you know, their surgical center's guidelines. And I'm not saying to, you know, ignore those. Certainly we've got to get through that initial weight loss phase, but then as our goals change and as your intake over time will change, we can optimize it to reach whatever these goals are that you have. And if muscle building is one of your goals, we most likely are definitely going to have to look at increasing calories as well as protein to help you see that surplus to give your body the fuel and the nutrients it needs to gain muscle. Okay. And then once you get to a place where you're like, okay, I'm happy with where I'm at, again, we might need to change your nutrition once more. So again, these are all moving pieces. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. If you know, want to reach out, you certainly can at any point. Okay. So I hope today's episode was helpful in giving you some parameters, some kind of number ranges. I know I get lots of questions online about ranges and what should my calorie goals be. And again, I'll just say, every one of you is different. And so what we need to find is what works best for you based on how much you can tolerate, where you are in your post-op journey, what you're doing for your exercise. And of course, I'm only talking about the nutrition side of this equation. The strength training side is critically important as well. Okay. That progressive overload, that, you know, stressing the muscles so that you can see that growth. That is where, again, a fitness professional, as I've mentioned, Sarah Anderson, Nick Bates, Kylie Hansen, those are people that I've had on my podcast. I would go back and listen to those episodes. You can reach out to any one of those or people in your own area that you're comfortable with. Reach out. Get help. It's never a bad thing to ask for help, whether it's with the nutrition or with the fitness side of this. Get a professional that can help save you time, keep it safe, use research and science-backed guidelines, not just something that you find on the internet. Get that help, because it'll really, really help save you time and get you off on the right foot. Okay. So thank you again for joining me today. I just appreciate you joining me every week, and I hope these podcast episodes are helpful. If you'd like to watch this episode, you can go right onto my YouTube channel, which is the Active Bariatric Nutrition channel. You can subscribe to it, which I highly recommend you do, because that way you'll be alerted when I post a new video. Also, just for this podcast itself, wherever you listen to it, if you wouldn't mind giving it a review, I would be so grateful for that, because the more reviews we get, this is what I've been told, as I'm a newbie to podcasting, the more that it's going to be kind of pushed out in front of others. And so if you don't mind giving it a review or sharing it with friends and family that you think would find this information helpful, I'd be so very, very thankful to you for doing that. Again, my main goal is just to try to touch as many folks as we can, because I feel like the guidelines for nutrition after bariatric surgery around fitness goals is just minimal, right? So we want to try to get as much, science-backed information out there so that you can start working on those goals. You can also follow me on Instagram. I have an Instagram account, Active Bariatric. Also, I have a Facebook page as well as a TikTok page. And if you would like to gain muscle in 2023 and you have no idea where to start, please reach out, guys. You can go right to my website, which is www.activebariatricnutrition.com. You can schedule a discovery call. You can message me there. But if you schedule a discovery call, we can kind of get more in depth as to what your goals are and see if we're a good fit for each other, and get you working towards those goals this year. So do any of those things. But again, if you ever have questions, please don't ever hesitate to reach out. I'm happy to answer them. So again, thank you for joining me today. I hope you have a great rest of your week. Hope everyone's staying happy and healthy in 2023. And guess what? We'll do this again next week. Take care, everybody.